Remembering the Future, the Physics of the Soul and Time Travel. Afterword. Since the inception of this series of books in 2001, the efforts to send back Part 2 from the year 2015, and after nearly 6 years of writing our results of more than 50 years of research, we have changed. Rather, I have evolved, along with you. Where once I have been indoctrinated, I have reached much further into the maelstrom of knowledge from many worlds. I have gathered strength and testimony from direct contact with the most powerful love in the universe. I have come to know you and met thousands of people around the country as we have toured to speak and try to raise support for our projects. Many people have asked me to tell the story of what happened during 2006 eSETI conference at Mount Adams in Washington. This may not be everything that happened, but it will give you an idea of how this comes full circle and begins to make sense. On August 20th of 2006, I was asked to lecture about the first volume of The Ark of Millions of Years. The preparation for the talk ended up changing the course of my life. Or should I say, it reawakened what had fallen asleep in me many decades ago. The first day of the event, I had been reintroduced to meditation as a way to access information out there in the universe. I didn't expect anything to happen except to reacquaint myself with that state of relaxation I knew as a youth while practicing transcendental meditation. The night before my lecture, I had joined a small group with a clear view of Mount Adams and calm meditation. Within minutes, we were all quiet, deep into our respective meditative states. I cannot tell how much time passed before the event that would change my world for a second time transpired. I began to feel a soft pulse against my heart area. At first, I thought it was my own heart beating. I did a quick check, silently, of my own body, only to discover that it was not my heart beating. It was coming from outside my body. It felt as though I was being rhythmically touched on the outside of my heart area with a soft pillow. I became aware of a conduit, as it were, open and connected to the mountain and directly to my heart. It was so interesting and felt so good that I stayed with it. There was no sense of panic, no sense of alarm. I felt serene and unthreatened. I very soon became aware of singing. It was a choir with 10,000 voices in it. The harmonies were endless. Layers upon layers of basses and sopranos and tenors and even other voices upon voices were continuing with this choir. I thought at this point that the event host, James Gilliland at the eSETI Ranch, had turned on some music, but this was not the case. The sound was not coming through my ears. It was coming through my heart. It felt like it was resonating through the frame of my body. Three words came out of this amazing symphony of voices. Peace was the first word. And it was sustained for what seemed like several minutes. Love was the next word, equally sustained and amazingly beautiful. Joy was the final word in the series, and then the series repeated. Over a period of what seemed like half an hour, it could have been much longer, the series was laid into my heart from the mountain. The experience was like bathing in sound, with droplets of energy rinsing every care from my soul. Three long and soothing times this series of words was repeated. As mysteriously as it began, this heavenly chorus faded into silence. The conduit remained connected to my heart as the continuous echoes subsided, like the last few birds in a white flock of birds with musical feathers. As mysteriously as it began, this heavenly chorus faded into silence. The conduit remained connected to my heart as the continuous echoes subsided like the last few birds in a white flock with musical feathers flying away down the conduit back to the mountain. As the silence became quiet, there was a voice that came. It was clean and clear. The words were something I never expected to hear in this life. Because you are quick to forgive, you are forgiven. The effect was stunning. Just as the tears of joy were about to burst upon my meditative calm, the conduit suddenly disconnected. The sound inside my body was like a giant pressure hose being disconnected from my heart. Decompressing with a rushing sound, my body recoiled as though I had been holding onto this conduit with all my might when it popped loose from my chest. I gasped for air and grabbed for something to prevent myself from falling over backwards against the floor behind me. Friends were there to catch me. One of my closest and dearest friends had been watching me because something had caught her attention as well during the event. "Did you see that?" I asked with a shudder in my voice. "Did you see that?" she asked, with the focus of the inquiry upon me. While I was enwrapped in the ecstasy of sound and love from the mountain, she was watching the show from behind me. She reported that images of gold were entering my back in the darkness as I meditated. Drawings, charts, graphs, and schematics were entering me at the rate of about one every 5 or 6 seconds. She could remember any details of the golden plates. She could not remember any details of the golden plates because they were complex and full of details, and they were entering at a rate too quickly to be memorized. She had never seen anything quite like this. I certainly had no idea what she was talking about, but I believed her because I felt like I had been filled with information of some kind. The most remarkable thing about her observation was that while this was occurring, she noticed my countenance change to one of deep peace. She placed her hand upon my deltoid area of my arm while the group sat quietly around us in the low-lighted room. Over her hand, she noticed another hand, golden in color and much illuminated. She found this so amazing that she moved her hand slightly, only to notice that within a second or so, that golden hand followed hers. As if trying the observation, she moved her hand a few times back and forth in a smoothing motion. The golden hand moved in a trailing motion to match hers. Supposing that she was herself having her first OBE, she decided it would be neat to leave the room and visit her sister in Michigan, more than 1,000 miles away. She made it as far as the ceiling of the house and felt like she slammed into the hard surface, after which the Golden One said, "This is not about you. It is about him. Go back and observe and remember." Obeying the command, she did just that. We talked quietly for about an hour as we all recounted what had happened, but I don't remember what was said. I was in a state of change. We have spoken about that night many dozens of times, and more details are continuously coming out. In fact, this book is the result of the download received that life-changing evening at the home of James Gilliland. I went to sleep in the bed with the window facing Mount Adams. Sleep came easily, and the hour of 7 a.m. arrived almost instantly. I arose, dressed, and headed to the downstairs bathroom for a shower. This bathroom was adjacent to the kitchen. As I headed for the shower with my toothbrush and towel in hand, Jonathan Shalimar was there washing dishes in the sink. I looked at him and said, "I feel different." He looked at me for a moment with genuine discernment and said, "You look different." He studied me for a moment and asked me what happened. I recounted the events of the night before, and he said that this was typical for the Mount Adams Isetti Ranch. I took my shower and got ready for the day. As this was one of the largest conference events on the West Coast, great opportunities existed to meet some of the best and greatest minds in the industry. Angelica Whitecliffe was a speaker at the Earth Transformation Conference at the Isetti Ranch that weekend as well. I went to speak to her. I found her at the display booth in the main hall, wherein I repeated the events of the previous night. They were still fresh on my mind, and the effects were becoming quite amazing. She told me this was common for people when they get to a place and a time where... She told me this was common for people when they get to a place and time where the purpose and information pertinent to a person were provided in one giant download. I had never heard of this word outside of computer language. "What does that mean?" I asked. "A download is where pure knowledge is poured into a person in order to meet a special need. I think your expedition to the North Pole to seek the opening into the inner earth requires special knowledge. You got it in the form of a download last night." The explanation was clear enough, but I still had no idea what was going on. "I am a scientist," I began. "I'm used to taking measurements and gathering information with instruments, not with my body. This is a very weird feeling." I was so full of joy inside that the tears flowed easily, and I am not one to cry easily either. She continued, "When you get up there, and the captain of the ship has gone everywhere over the Arctic Sea you have predetermined to sail, you may find nothing. The captain is going to turn to you and say, 'Where to now, Dr. Agnew?' And you will know where to go." I was speechless. Yes, I had joined a team of scientists earlier that year to travel by ship to the Arctic region to seek such an opening. But I was only a contributing scientist. I was on the team to design a way to measure the curvature of the Earth so as to locate the legendary oceanic depression. I wasn't a key player. I was just on the team, led by Stephen Curry, who was an accomplished expedition leader with decades of experience in these types of adventures. There was something else. My body was changing. I was an asthmatic since I was 5 years old. I weighed 252 pounds and had been taking hypertension medication for nearly 10 years. Just so you won't forget, I want to tell you I felt differently. I moved differently. When I returned again the next year to speak, the film manager approached me during the dinner and said, "Your older brother was here last year speaking. I don't know what happened to you, but you look 15 years younger than the guy who was here speaking last year." It was true. I watched the film of that lecture myself. That guy was older than me. I had undergone a metamorphosis during that download of information. When I returned home the following day, there were other things that happened. I was still reeling inside. I was still reeling inside from the body and soul changes that had taken place. I phoned Rodney, my contact person with the expedition, the first chance I had. His words were so surprising that I still recall the vacuous feeling as he said them. I don't know if we're going to have an expedition, he began. Why? I asked. Because Stephen Curry died unexpectedly. Brain tumor. No one knew he was even sick. We don't know what to do, he said, with a voice controlled to hide the emotion he was feeling. I was inspired to tell Rodney what had happened over the weekend, with the short version. I'll call you back, he said, and hung up. The next day, he called. He informed me that the Expedition Leadership Board had met and decided to ask me to be the expedition leader. I was floored. 5 days before, I was a hobby member, with a shot at being on a team of explorers to the Arctic Circle. Now, I was the expedition leader. Now I knew what Angelica meant. Now I knew what my mission was going to be. The next 3 years prepared me for the greatest expedition in the history of the world. That, of course, is another story. The human race was pulsing with newfound communication and was vibrating like it was about to bond in a spontaneous motion of love and entanglement. It needed an event to unite it. A planet, and the souls upon her felt that this event had the potential to bring them together like a single being, without war and without loss of identity, in a way that eased the patriotic sovereignty responsible for so much death and mayhem. The knowledge that we have always existed and that we are the creators of this universe was enough for the race to begin the next phase of evolution. We were all about to grow again. With the Ark of Millions of Years trilogy in your hands, and remembering the future in your hands, I feel sure that these pages will leave you with the knowledge to make your lives more full of hope and excitement for your dreams and for your ability to love others. Remember, it does not matter so much how you are loved. It matters how you love others. Even Jesus had enemies. The music and aroma of life has been created by you with all of its stench and beauty. The pain and cold of birth, the joy and glory of falling in love, and the probability of physical death have all been your creation. Sleeping souls are affecting the universe too, but without the empowerment that you now possess. I want you to awaken and discover that the separation you have perceived is also your creation. With this book, you are empowered to uncreate that separation from Source and build something new and amazing. When the real birthing pains arrive to Earth, it won't matter how many cars you own or how large and diverse your 401k might be. In fact, like the great ones who have come to Earth and managed to be heard, you will see that possessions are not the goal of life. You are not separate from God. You do not need anyone to make the call for you. You are integral to God, like an essential organ. There are those who feel disconnected from Source. Now that you realize that the Big Bang never happened, and that you cannot ever be separated from God, go and help someone else to realize the same thing. They feel that their lives are full of destiny and not under their control. Well, you feel differently now. You know that you are not only in total control of your own life, but that your attention and intention do affect the universe in a very powerful way. You know how to dream. If you have read all the books in our series, you know the messages left for us by the ancient races that once lived here. They were and are us. We built those things to remind ourselves to wonder about them. That wonder reconnects us to our own past experiences. You now know that the pyramids, The Nazca fields, the calendars, and the cosmos themselves were created by you to remind you of who you are. You were there. Search your heart. You know this is true. You have worked for many thousands of years, perhaps millions of years, to get to this point. You stand on the edge of the precipice along with the entire race of sentient beings on this planet, and you are no longer afraid. No one can place slices of fear and trepidation on your pizza. The waves of change are exactly why you came here. Never stop loving and seeking love. Fall in love as deeply and thoroughly as you can. Savor the aroma, mesmerize the feel. Never stop loving and seeking love. Fall in love as deeply and thoroughly as you can. Savor the aroma, memorize the feel, and taste everything in moderation. These opportunities only come around during mortal experiences. It's the most exciting event in this corner of the universe, which, after all, is just a singularity anyway. We want you to walk away from the eschatological path whereby the human race is annihilated. You have the right and the power, and now have the tools to change everything. So you might as well get to it. Above all else, remember the future. Peace, love, and joy.